Hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. So go get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/onefinalscare.
Oh my God, look who's back from her trip.
Alive. At last.
Damn it.
You can't get rid of me.
I wanted the show to myself.
Yep, here I am.
But you're back. Well, kidding aside.
I'm glad you came back. Let me tell you, I don't know.
In one piece, I think. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we'll see. I've been back a week, and I have not beat the jet lag yet. I don't think, anyway. Yeah. I'm like really off.
And puberty, apparently.
Puberty? What?
Oh, the breakout. What's going on in your face right now?
Oh, come on. Really? First of all, this is the best it's looked in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. My God.
There's like one blemish right here. Are you really going to call me out for that? Oh, is there more? Such an asshole. Oh, my God. I do not miss having you in my life every day when you would remind me of this at work.
Awesome.
Hey, do you look sick? Oh, no, it's just because you don't have any makeup on. Asshole.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, kidding. My face was, you know, it was the African sun. It was beating down hard. We covered a lot of miles in the car. The sun was like literally just beating on me. Like one day we had like 5.5 hours in the car. The sun was on me the entire time. Ashley, meanwhile, my best friend is tan and she's in the shade. And I'm like... How is this possible? And so, yeah, I'm like literally my right hand, my driving hand, because, you know, I was on the right side of the car on the other side of the road.
No, I get it. Yeah.
And my whole hand, my fingers got sunburned. I don't think my fingers have ever been sunburned in my entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Good.
So thanks for making fun of my blemishes.
You haven't
even asked how my trip's gone. You just look right at my pimple.
Well, because I already know how it went.
Do you?
Yeah, you told me.
Did I?
And seen it through the photos. Many, many photos that you posted on Facebook.
You're following me.
And Instagram. Are you surprised that I'm following you?
I don't know. It's like what? When I've posted before, you're like, too long, didn't read.
Oh. I thought you meant like, okay, I see what you mean. Am I following your adventures?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't help it. It just shows up on my... Oh. Yeah, I couldn't avoid
just
it.
There. Like,
oh my God,
like,
yeah,
a disease.
It's like all the notifications... That would explode every night. Like,
Well, there were a couple times where like I didn't have any service, and then I would upload like 5 at one time.
5 is
yeah.
being generous.
I tried really hard to not do like more than 4 or 5 at one time. Okay. I did. I really did. I could have posted a lot more if you wanted me to.
Oh, no. That's fine. It was enough.
So I think the hardest thing to survive during the trip was the ride back. It was like a 36-hour adventure for me. It was freaking terrible. Like, I wanted to die by the end. And I almost didn't make my connecting flight in Dubai. And I was like panicked. I was like sweating, running. I literally was running through the airport. I had like an hour layover and our plane was like circling around in the air for 20 extra minutes. And then they landed us in the middle of the tarmac. They set us out there for like 20 minutes. Some bus came to get us. It dropped us off. We all had to go back through security since we had come like out of the airport. And I'm like running. As soon as I get through security, it says my gate and it said final call. And I was like, no, because the next flight to America, I think was like 10 hours later. I was like, no fucking way. Because I had already been, I think, in travel for what, 15 hours. So I got on my plane.
You ran through the airport.
Oh, I was running like so fast. And there were people everywhere. And
I dropped my little without being like stopped and questioned.
I dropped my neck pillow and some guy like chased after me. He's like trying to interrupt me. And I'm like, I got to go. And he's like, no, you dropped your neck pillow. I was like, thank God, because I needed it, because I was about to get on a 14-hour flight. Anyway, they fucking confiscated my wine. I bought you a bottle of wine and I was going to give it to you. And
I know.
They confiscated it in Dubai.
It's easier to tell the story instead of...
I literally bought you a bottle of wine. No, no joke. I am so pissed about it. I could not, like, the first 3 hours of my flight, I was so angry and mad. I was like, but in Cape Town, in the like duty free store. They told me I could bring it over here with me through this airport. And they were like, nope, you should have checked it in your baggage. I was like, I had already checked my baggage. What do you not understand? And then they go, well, if you got into the gate earlier, we would have checked it for you. And I was like, I couldn't have gotten to my gate earlier. I just got here. And so then I got on the plane like so pissed off.
That you're just throwing a fit.
I was so mad. I tried so hard. I begged. I literally was begging the security people.
Internationally. Just like,
there was nobody around me. I was literally almost late to get on that plane. But I made it back. And it was a cool trip. It was really cool.
Yay.
For those of
and
you
now
listening.
You're back in Lorton, Virginia.
For those of you listening who have never been to South Africa, Cape Town, all the way east to the Eastern Cape, you should totally do it. It was really amazing, really beautiful, really cool people.
So, speaking of South Africa,
yeah.
Remember I told you I was going to look up films?
Yep.
By South Africans or shot there or horror films. And I did.
Mm-hmm. What'd you find?
Unfortunately, we didn't watch them today. It was weird. It was like there was a movie called Night Drive.
Yep.
Right? And there was another movie called Prey.
Mm-hmm.
And Dracula 3000.
Yeah.
Which
takes
was
place in space, right?
Yeah. So I guess I think it was a film director who was
South African.
From South Africa, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next time, I kind of want to watch one of them. And I just quickly looked at Night Drive. I think Night Drive would be cool because I did a self drive safari and I feel like the tie would be perfect.
Out of the three, I'd rather watch Dracula 3000.
That has nothing to do with South Africa.
So it's by South African. It doesn't have to take place in South Africa.
I think we should put this up to a vote.
Okay, sure.
Maybe our listeners can tell us which one they'd prefer us to watch.
Dracula 3000.
Got really good.
Or some boring movie called Night Drive.
First of all, it didn't get terrible reviews. I'm pretty sure. Dracula 3000. First of all, you didn't even mention that you wanted to. Sorry, I messed the microphone up. You didn't even mention to me that you wanted to watch Dracula 3000.
I said out of the three.
But you just said that just now. Like, where was this feeling before when I had said I wanted to watch Night Drive?
Because that wasn't part of the option. It was like either those movies or other movies. Other American movies.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Well, I'm gonna watch Night Drive.
We had this whole conversation about reviews. Don't look at reviews.
Why? If a movie totally sucks and someone else is like, it totally sucks, I don't want to spend my time doing that. There's too many things to watch in this world.
But then we watched Babadook, remember? It had like 97%.
Babadook was not bad. I don't know. You really hate on it. I thought it was a good movie. I mean, I didn't think it was what I thought it was going to be, but it was a good movie.
I think my high expectation was so high.
Mm-hmm.
There was just, yeah. It's just, there was no other movie. I mean, there was no way for that movie to meet that, I guess, because
and it was so high based on what?
Based on the reviews, yeah. I was like, holy crap, this must be amazing.
Well, it was a really personal metaphor, right? Or
yeah.
Postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Like parallel. So you don't understand that. You don't have a kid.
You don't either. What the hell?
Well, we'll see something next time, but we started telling people that we were going to tell them what movie we would watch next week so that they could go watch if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? I don't know, dude. Dracula 3000 looks pretty bogus, but
it sounds badass.
Look, let's see. When a deadly
Dracula,
no, hold on. Is that
3000.
Right? Wait, what is the, where's
so
the,
is it like, is Dracula robot? Is he a robot?
It says, okay,
mechanical dragon.
In the year 3000, the deep space salvage ship Mother 3 locates the vanished starship Demeter in the Carpathian system. Captain Abraham Van Helsing and his crew, composed of the blonde assistant Aurora Ash. Oh, this is why you want to watch it. The crippled navigator Arthur the professor.
Why do they describe it like that? That's
I don't
so
know.
Weird.
Of course, it's to like snag people. The crippled navigator Arthur, the Professor Holmwood, who believes that he is a genius, and the strong and dumb Humvee, the intern Mina Murray. There's already too many characters.
Yeah.
And the drug addicted 187 decide to claim the possession of Demeter. While exploring the spacecraft, they see a tape of 50 years ago of Captain Varna telling that he was locked. telling them that he was locked in his cabin since his crew was acting weird after getting a cargo of coffins in Transylvania Station. When 187 decides to search in the coffins for some possible hidden dope, he cuts his hand and his blood awakes Count Orlok, a.k.a. Count Dracula. When Aurora discloses who Dracula is, the survivors try to find a way to destroy the vampire. I don't think so.
Awesome.
This sounds silly.
Awesome.
Also, it says written by Claudio Carvalho from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. What exactly has anything to do with South Africa? Film Africa, the official sites.
Oh.
Filming location. All right. Whatever. This is not connected at all. We'll see.
Exactly what you wanted. Location, South Africa.
It's not. It's in space. It's in space.
But it was shot there.
Just some.
It's so funny. It's very similar to like, my Steve and I had a story. We're working on a story about how in the future, near future, whatever, humans, like the planet Earth was, you know, global warming. It wasn't fit to have us living on it. So humans leave in a spaceship looking for another planet to live on. And they eventually, after hundreds of years, whatever, they come back to Earth, right? To find that there's new life on it and it's been taken over by vampires. That's stupid.
I thought you were going to say monkeys.
No, vampires. That's Planet of the
Apes. I know. By the way, that was made in 2004. Night Drive was 2010. A group of tourists faced the fight of their lives in a South African game reserve.
What does that mean? What does it matter?
2004. I don't know. Movies weren't great then.
Things weren't great where?
In 2004. What was really going on in 2004?
You remember in the last couple episodes ago,
How can you not want to watch a movie about tourists?
Candyman versus Bye Bye Man. And I was like, I'd rather watch Bye Bye Man because better special effects. And you were like, no.
No. No, not always, but whatever. All right. So we'll see who wins this fight. But, you know, if you guys want to vote, you just go ahead and vote. Let us know. But I'll probably win anyway. Oh, now you hit your microphone. All right. So.
But what did we watch today?
Well, okay. You know, we have some episodes obviously in the queue. So by the time you've listened to this, you've already heard last week's Sadako versus Kayako. But obviously the two episodes before that, you know, we did a lot of Women in Horror Month conversating. Hey, don't chew in the microphone, please, for the love of God. Okay. So we talked about Karen Kusama and we talked about, I don't know if we actually mentioned XX, did we? I'm pretty sure we did. Okay. So we decided to watch XX, I think, ahead of time. We wanted to do an anthology movie anyway, so it just worked out. So we wound up watching XX today together. And I think since it's a four-story anthology, we're going to do two parts. We're going to do the first two stories for this episode, and we'll do the next two stories for another episode. Give your guys' ears a little break, you know, and then we'll pick it up the week after. No?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because we're so tired today.
I'm so tired. The jet lag's got me.
Kidding. We love doing this. What are you talking about?
Oh, I love doing it, but I just want to be awake for it.
Cool. Well, let's.
Nope.
Get.
Nope. Nope. I'm not doing it. Goodbye.
Let's get right to it.
Oh, God. For crying out loud. All right, so besides knowing that Karen Kusama was involved in XX, I really didn't know much about it. So we watched like a really, really quick little video with four of the ladies that were a part of this.
I like the writers, yeah.
And also the animator who did the kind of the, what do you call it?
Director too.
Yeah, but yeah. She did this kind of stop motion animation that was the wraparound for all four stories.
Yes. Very abstract.
Yeah, it was very... Yeah. Creepy dolls, doll heads, body parts.
What's that band in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000, where they all their Tool? Where all their music video was stop motion animation with like puppets and dolls. You don't remember?
I want to say Korn, but I know that's
Tool.
Not, it was Tool?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I kind of don't remember that.
Okay.
I have like kind of a little blip in my brain, but I'll check that out. I'll go back and revisit the 90s.
That's okay.
So let's see. Sophia Carrillo, I think, was the animated animator.
Yeah.
And then on the video that we also saw, Jovanka Vukovic and what's her name? Roxanne Benjamin and
Annie Clark.
Annie Clark.
Who is
St. Vincent.
Yep.
Yep. So we watched this little video and they talked about why they made it. And it's pretty insightful. I mean, kind of a no-brainer why they made it, right? It's a bunch of outstanding females in the genre.
And what's her name?
Karen Kusama wasn't on the video because they said she couldn't be there that
Joe,
day.
Joe, what's her name? The first...
Jovanka.
Jovanka had, I mean, a lot of detail, like sort of like stats of like how many percentage of women and how it's fallen this year.
Yeah.
After making a lot of noise last year.
Yeah.
About women in film.
Yeah.
And, but, you know... I was very surprised by that.
Like, yeah, so she said...
She came prepared for that interview.
Well, come on. This has been her life for a while. I mean,
I know, but I was... I just thought it was interesting. It caught me by surprise.
Well, it's a significant...
She was driving stats left and right.
Yeah, so I got those stats. 50% of grad film students that graduate are women, yet only 7% of all directors are women, film directors, which is terrible. And I guess that's down 2% from last year. So I guess we were at 9 last year, which means there's a lack of opportunities at the highest level, you know, in the film industry for women. So they said that they made this movie, she literally said, like, to create more jobs for women, which I thought was pretty cool. And so XX, obviously, female chromosomes. And the rule, like, going into this, whoever was going to be a part of it, was that it had to be female director, female writer, and then whoever was the lead had to be a female too, which I thought was pretty... They did a good job at that. they all win. I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, in setting that goal and meeting them, I think they did that.
Yeah.
Now
were they great?
That's debatable.
I am really okay. I think we've referenced Creepshow before, which I love.
Oh yeah.
But I have a really hard time with anthologies usually.
They're hard to do.
I know.
Right? Because not...
The short stories are just, they're a little hard for me.
You know, you watch like VHS, right? And there's like 5-6 stories. Maybe 2 are good.
Yeah.
Right? Less than 50%. They're hard.
Yeah.
You know? Like, or like one of them is really good. So
and
the
it
rest
stands
look,
out to the... Yeah, I know,
so the rest
it
look
does.
Like shit. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I enjoy them. I think you know by now, like I praise everything, you know, pretty well. I mean, there's something I like about everything. Same with this, I guess. At the very end, you were like, what was your favorite? And I'm like, I don't know. I was being a hater.
A little bit, but yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
It's the way it is, right?
It's the way it is. Don't say it, but did you have a favorite?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Say it when we get there. Build the suspense. Or we'll say it at the end of next episode.
Oh, that. Really?
We got to save something for next episode, right?
It doesn't matter. You like what you like, you know?
You like what you like. I know that I think I usually start to like things more after we start talking about them, right?
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the...
So what the first... What?
Well, do you want to talk about the animation a little bit more and how kind of creepy it was and describe it? I said at one point, like, oh my God, I don't even know how I'm going to describe this.
You know, as you know, I don't know if you know, but...
Tell me. I don't know if I know. I don't know what's coming.
I have a love and hate relationship with stop motion animation I respect it because I know how much time it takes and how much skill, just tremendous amount of patience and skill that it takes to create one, a short one.
Right.
But... I hate it at the same time because I did a stop motion animation in art school and college, a 5-minute one. And
oh my God, did it take all semester?
Semester and a half.
Yeah.
And I wanted to not, when I graduated, I was like, I'm never doing stop motion animation ever again. I think the team, there was like 4 guys and it was like a labor of love for us. And we wanted to like create this. I mean, we had to not only write our own script, and that's, you know, that's all sort of what you're supposed to do, but none of us didn't know how to make dolls and sew clothes. And we had to learn.
You had to do all that?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
We built 12 dolls, and we had to learn how to make the foam hands that didn't break. Because our skeleton was made out of wires, and they were constantly poked through while we were, you know, as we were moving them.
Right.
And and then the puppets, and then we had to build horses, clay horses, three sets and a plane. It was insane. And then once we got all of those sets, we're like, let's shoot it. And we would Friday from Sunday, we'll shoot maybe 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then we would just be like, yes, we got 3 seconds today. It'd be amazing. And it was 5 minutes.
I know. Takes forever.
Yeah. And then after we got everything shot, we had to edit, do audio, sound. It was insane.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
I did 3D animation, which wasn't much better. And we had I think we had to make a 2-minute film.
Yeah.
And that took all semester. And of course, with rendering and all that, you never know what's going to happen. But yeah. I dropped that too. My last senior year, yeah. I dropped it because it was too much. I hate it.
Yeah. And for work last year,
yeah.
We did one. I said I never was going to do it again. And I ended up doing one commercial for, you know.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh. And then we hired professionals.
Oh, okay, got it.
You know,
yeah. So you got to oversee. It. You got yeah. to art direct.
Yeah, but still, like 5 days.
Yeah.
And these guys had like, you know, amazing tools
yeah.
that I wish I had when I was sure. in school. And even then, it was just like, what? Oh, I mean, anyone who's been in the film business, right? It's like, they know 12, 14 hour days.
Yeah.
And we were in the hotel from Monday through Friday. It was a 5-day shoot. Cabin fever. I mean, I just wanted to leave sure. that hotel. I just, you know, just take a walk or whatever. It was, yeah.
So part of me wants to go try to find like a making of Sofia Carilla's one for this movie.
Right.
Because, and also I think I even said, I want to like rewatch this because it would just kind of happen in between all the movies. And mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out what each one meant. And I think you said it too. And I was thinking the same thing. Like I was trying to pay attention so hard to see if it had
any
some
meaning?
Tie to yeah. either the episode that had just happened or the one.
Right? Yeah.
At one point I thought it did. The stomach one, like the food in the stomach. So I was like,
but that came after Box.
Right. So I was like, is yeah. it maybe they started with something general and then, but I couldn't tell.
Maybe we're just looking for meaning and we're finding it, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it was just her own thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was very abstract.
It was very abstract. And it had a very good element of creepiness. It was like doll heads and then what would look like
a
human. Like human flesh with like a little door and some little thing would come over and
walking dollhouse with
yeah, like a walking dollhouse.
And
it would open up the door and like shove something inside. And then at one point there was a rotting apple, like a real apple. Yeah. It was
a very like 90s, late 90s during that time, you know, mm-hmm. like a lot of the sort of visual graphics was like grimy, grungy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word for that look. I can't remember. That was really popular then. It was a throwback to that.
Yeah.
Personally, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. Yeah. It was dark. I liked it. The first of four was
The Box.
Which I said.
Very Twilight Zone-ish, right?
Well, I said the box. Oh, like a woman's vagina. Like, I remember. Oh, that's what I said at the very beginning. You were probably just taking notes or something.
Yeah, I was like,
is this going to be like
a joke? Let's move along here.
I was really waiting for it to be about that. I was wrong.
Apparently I'm working with a frat boy.
Well, come on. We talked about like axe wound before and you were like, do you want to say what it means?
I'm we never
like,
find out, do we?
Nope. We yeah. never find out.
It's sort of but a maybe, MacGuffin, right?
Maybe it's the head from Seven.
What's in the box?
It had the same line. I mean, maybe there was some kind of tie to that.
Yeah.
So we should say this one was Jovanka Vukovic's movie, and it was starring. So the lead star was Natalie Brown from one of my favorite television shows, The Strain. Do you watch The Strain?
The vampire thing?
It's kind of vampire. It's kind of zombie. But
wait,
yeah.
Hold on. That's still on?
It's still on. It's really good.
Shut up.
I swear to you. I kid you not. Like, I'm surprised I'm saying this for sure. I mean, it's like regular television. It's crazy. Network TV.
I honestly did not know.
Or no, it's FX. Is that considered network?
No.
No. Okay. No, it's FX.
I saw season 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Is what, season 3 now or 4?
I think we're in season 3. I think season 3 just ended.
Okay. So I'm just a season behind. I
really enjoy it. I don't know.
I love the effects. The effects.
It's so good. It's like they must have the best budget or something.
Well, it's what's his name, right?
Well, Guillermo. When it's like, whatever.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. I often wonder how much he has to do with that film. or the show, and does he fund it, or does he actually?
Yeah, who knows?
Help write it or anything like that.
He just basically repackaged the Reapers, right, from Blade 2.
Oh, really?
That's,
I didn't know that either.
I mean, it's the same. I mean, the
you're talking about this.
The vampires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the ancients. You mean?
I mean, they attacked practically the same way, almost.
Oh, you're talking about the regular day-to-day zombies. Yeah. So that, you know who I'm talking about, though, the ancients. There's like these ancient vampire zombies that are kind of in those weird,
in those things,
like chairs or.
And there was that one that was old, really old, and he
So they remind me of, I don't know if it was Blade 3, where there was like ancients. Oh, was it 2? And there were ancient vampires in that, in Blade. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe they were in 3 too. I can't remember.
I can't remember anymore. But I just know one's got Ryan Reynolds in it, and he was like buff and hot in that movie.
Oh, that's part 3. Mm-hmm. That's awful.
I know, but Ryan Reynolds.
Part 2 was the best.
So anyway, Natalie Brown's the lead, and... And we start, I was trying to remember if I wanted to say anything else about Jovanka. And I was just going to say she's the former editor-in-chief also of Rue Morgue magazine, which some of you guys probably read.
What's the magazine?
Rue Morgue.
What is it?
It's that? A horror magazine. Oh. It's been around for a while.
Digital or is it?
No, you can get it in print too. Oh. I mean, it might be digital as well, but.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
The only horror magazine, obviously, I've heard of is Fangoria.
Yeah.
Actually, there's one more, Cinema. Something.
I have one too, and I'm totally blanking out. And that's why I was just staring you stupidly just now. I'm like, no, wait, I have another one. And I'm totally forgetting.
Fangoria is a big one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. So Natalie Brown is a mom, and we start with her narration as we're watching her on a train. Are we in New York? Does it matter? It seems like it.
I thought they were in Europe at one point.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I thought.
I mean, they're all American.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought that.
I kind of thought she, oh no, I know why. Cause she said, it's Christmas time and this time of year, the only way to make your kids happy after a long day is to take them to the ice skating rink and then to take them shopping. So that's why I was totally getting a picture of the, you know, the ice rink in New York, and they're totally on the subway.
Yeah. They're just nondescript subway.
Yeah. So
it's not important.
And then the camera kind of pans out and you see her two kids with her. She's got a son and a daughter. Danny and what's the daughter's name? I forget.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I kind of want to say Jenny. We'll correct
Jenny.
It.
Jenny.
Yeah? Is that right?
Jenny, yeah.
Okay. So, anyhow, they're on the train and you just kind of hear her talking, and there's the whole train's full, and there's a guy sitting next to them with this big, red, shiny, beautiful Christmas box with a bow on it.
He's wearing a black trench coat and a black hat that Chase was wearing one day in my house. It's like creepy black hat. And he's got a fake eye.
Or like a lazy eye. He had like something. It was like a hanging eyelid, and it was like.
Yeah, it was
weird.
It was damaged.
He had
a damaged
eye.
Yes, there was like a fake
We're
eye.
We're building backstories. Yeah. He was damaged in the war.
In the war?
Of 1812. So the son goes like, hey man, what's in the box? What's in the box? Yeah. And the guy goes, it's a present. It's a present. And he won't leave him alone. So he kind of takes apparently it's a box that you can just, it's wrapped, but the top comes off. So he kind of opens the top up and the kid peeks inside and he has this very kind of disconcerted look on his face.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
facial expression changes, you know, in a snap.
Yeah. So he's now no longer like this, you know, annoying little kid. He's having fun or whatever, tormenting people sitting around him. Now he's just quiet. And so then they're at home. They get home and dad welcomes them. And it's like, hey, it's dinner time. Made dinner. And they have dinner. Nothing major happens.
He's not hungry. What?
I think he eats that first night now. Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, after that, they wind up watching Night of the Living Dead. I swear, this is like the movie that everybody puts in their movie. It was in Last Time I Saw Richard. It's in so many. I mean, it's an obvious, but it was the scene before the zombies come out. And it's like, they're coming to get you, Barbara. Mm-hmm. So they're having a popcorn and movie night, and night ends. And all of a sudden, we see text on screen says Monday. Dun dun.
Yep.
And let's see.
We're back at the dinner table.
We're back at the dinner table.
So throughout this movie, they show the dinner table from the top. and what they're about to eat. And it's shot beautifully. And we were getting hungry looking at it. We're like, oh my God.
I want fried chicken.
I want pepperoni pizza.
Well, I have that first that they go to school that day. But I don't know. I wrote that they go to school and then when they come home, they're at dinner. And his mom goes, why didn't you eat your lunch? And the sister goes, because it was pizza day. And then the son goes.
Yeah, just mention it.
Yeah. And the son goes, but I didn't eat that either. So yeah,
they never show it. I don't think they never showed them in school.
No, they didn't. Yeah. It was just they were leaving that morning. And so when they're sitting around the dinner table, it was like, well, why didn't you eat your school lunch? And the sister was guessing like, oh, I bet he didn't eat his school lunch because it was pizza day. Mm-hmm. It's your favorite. And he goes, no, I didn't eat that.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. So I wrote down that they were eating ribs. So I think that was right. And they looked so good. They showed like this beautiful shot and I wanted to eat all of it. So,
and the father is slowly beginning to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
While the mom, not so much, right?
Yeah, this night it kind of gets passed over still. It was just like, all right, well, okay, why didn't you eat pizza then either? And he was like, I just didn't want it. And so then they're like, go ahead and eat. And he's like, nah, I'm not really hungry. Yeah. And then so Tuesday comes along.
Yeah, comes along.
And so they're talking and it's apparently he didn't eat lunch again.
Yep.
And I think the husband and wife are talking. It's like they had just gotten home from work, right? And she's taken off her earrings in the bedroom. And I think the dad goes, well, maybe he's sick. And she goes, I think it's probably just a stunt to get out of school. Or maybe he's eating junk food at school and that's why he doesn't have an appetite around us. And he's just like, come on, really?
Yeah. And he's like, I think we need to make an appointment with doctor.
Yeah.
Their family doctor.
And she goes,
get him checked.
And she goes, why? What's the doctor going to do? Even if he's just not eating, the doctor's not going to be able to help him.
But this is what I thought it was. I made that comment. I feel like mothers usually, especially.
Totally.
Was she a stay-at-home mom? I can't remember.
No.
Mm-mm. She worked?
I mean, she, in that episode, in that scene, I remember her kind of coming in with her work. It seemed to be like office attire. Yeah. So.
To be honest, I feel like she would be more concerned of the kid not eating.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very atypical.
Very, very stereotypical thinking.
It is.
But
I agree with you. I don't think any mom, if now we've had 2 days where, you know, your kid hasn't eaten lunch or dinner.
It's insane.
Like, what the hell? So they go to have dinner that night on Tuesday night. And I wrote down, it's a spaghetti dinner, meatballs, the whole nine, garlic bread. I said, oh, that garlic bread looks good.
Maybe that's why I ate spaghetti.
Maybe. And they pass it to him and he goes, no, thanks. And they're like, well, why don't you want to eat? Do you not feel well? And he goes, no, I feel just fine. I just, I'm not hungry. And the dad is like, again, you can see on his face now he's starting to get really worried.
He gets angry. This is the fourth day.
Yet. Mm-mm. No.
Oh, that's Wednesday. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're
so
right.
So Wednesday is, chicken wings and pizza. So now they're trying everything and they literally say, come on,
favorite.
It's your favorite.
Yeah.
Like, please eat.
It looks so good.
And he goes, it smells really good, but I'm still not hungry. Okay. And he's doing this weird thing, actually. We've not mentioned it. He's taking his fork and he's like circling it around his plate.
It's making this like squeaky, scratchy noise. Sound.
And he's doing it now, like kind of hard. And
I mean, it would annoy anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
It's like that nails on chalkboard, right? Yeah. And he's doing it after he says he's just still isn't hungry. And his dad just loses it.
Almost
starts screaming. Yeah. And he's like, you are not getting up until you eat. And then the mom just kind of pleads like, can you just take one bite, please?
And the kids are frightened, right?
Yeah.
He's yelling at him. He's, why aren't you eating? Just eat it. I don't care if you're not hungry or you're not hungry.
Take a bite.
Just take a bite. I just want to see you eat it. And he's yelling at him like,
and then you
really
can tell
he feels
bad like really fast.
Yeah. I mean, he's out of his seat.
Yeah.
And like just towering over him. Uh-huh. And the kid is frightened.
He starts crying.
Yeah.
And then he runs to his bedroom crying.
Yeah. Dad feels like an asshole now.
I know. So Thursday, we're at the doctor's. Yeah. We see the sister in the hallway reading Hellboy.
That was weird, right?
I know. I love when like directors or writers or whoever it is that's deciding to like set props up, decide like what to drop in. I'm always like, oh, is there deeper
must
meaning
be her,
there?
It must be her favorite.
Oh, right. It's like
my favorite.
Totally like calling out my favorite. So the doctor and the parents are talking and it's like, this is the fifth day without our son eating. It's been 5 days and we don't know what to do. And the doctor's like, can I have some alone time with him? Because Danny was sitting right there. And so the doctor starts talking to him and he's like, look, there's starving people in so many countries. And if you don't eat, you're going to die. Like, that's what happens to people who don't
eat. And then he says,
I don't care. So why? Why doesn't he care?
Yeah, I thought it was something more sinister when he said that at first. I was like, oh, snap.
No, actually, he said so.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yes, so. So. Then the doctor's talking to the parents alone after this, and he says, okay, well, I weighed him. He's lost 5 pounds. Other than that, though, like, every other thing is fine, so I don't really know why he's not eating. I'd recommend a therapist. I think, does the dad kind of say,
he
like...
He said, I'll recommend a like someone like to see him, go see someone. And he goes, and he freaks out. She goes, I'm not taking my kid to a psychiatrist.
And he goes, I'm not saying a psychiatrist. I'm saying a therapist. I'm not saying he needs to be on any kind of drugs. He just needs to talk to somebody. Maybe something's going on with him and he's upset or whatever.
That was a little like interesting tidbit, right? From the writer.
I don't want to put him on drugs.
That was like a little, yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's good. And then, so he's like, look, whatever you do when you go home, don't push him, but remind him to eat, but don't push him, whatever you do. And so they come home
force feed him.
Yeah,
eat
don't
this now.
like a goose.
In that machine, what's that machine to put the goose that they?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. It's the worst. Okay, so now we're at home after the doctor's office and...
the kids are being creepy, right? Because if the mom walks down...
Well, like, no.
What was after the dinner?
Well, not yet. So, like, yeah, it's the Chinese food I wrote down. And and Danny's not at the table.
Yeah,
so now it's just the mom and dad and the sister, and they're not even going to ask him to come to the table. Yeah. And then later,
after dinner,
that dinner. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No, you go ahead.
So the mom is just, you know, getting ready for bed. She's walking down the hallway.
She hears chitter-chatter.
Yeah, she hears like, oh, what's going on? And she kind of looks into Jenny's bedroom. And Jenny and Danny, right?
Yeah.
Are sitting in bed. They're just talking. They're whispering.
Yeah.
And he whispers something into Jenny's ear.
And then they both look up to mom.
Look up, and then she sees that the mom's there. And then the mom goes,
what's wrong?
And they're like, nothing.
Nothing.
What did you, and she asks, what did you tell Jenny?
Nothing.
Like, can you tell me? And they're just like, no.
Danny just gets in bed, and Jenny's laying there still on the front of the bed, and she just kind of stares at her mom, almost like, I mean, I got the sense that Jenny now... has something against her mom.
See, I thought that too, right? Uh-huh. I thought it was something against her.
She totally seemed like that.
And I think, and I don't know, maybe that was sort of like, what do you call it when there's...
animosity?
Like a misdirection, right?
Oh.
Right? Like in a story.
I don't know,
like
though. They thought,
because she was having... Well, we'll get
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
But I think it should be noted, because maybe this will help us figure out something. But she seemed to be... she had some kind of disdain for her is what I felt. But,
her life.
Huh?
Or her life, you mean?
Of the daughter of her mother. Like, she just kind of was like, I don't know about you anymore. That's kind of how she looked at her, you know? And then after that, we see the mom out on her back porch or her
smoking
smoking a cigarette, very stressed. So Friday comes on screen. And guess what? Guess who's not hungry for dinner now? Jenny.
And Danny.
Jenny ain't eating. And so I have that Jenny and Danny are both not at the table and they have like, what was it? It was like mac and cheese and coleslaw and something. And the dad is are you not taking this seriously?
Yeah.
And how can you eat right now with our children starving? And the mom's like, I have to eat, don't I? And, the dad just gets up and he goes
loses his appetite too.
He leaves.
Walks out.
And the mom takes like a really angry bite of food.
Yeah. This is interesting because it's an outside shot of the dining table or dining room.
Like from another room.
Yeah. From another room. Father walks out of the frame. He leaves because he's angry. And the camera sits there for a good 15, 20 seconds.
And you go, she's going to take another bite.
And everyone's already going, oh, she's going to eat.
Yeah.
She's going to eat.
She's going to eat.
And she all of grabs the leg.
Like really fast.
Yeah. And then she bites into it.
Yeah.
Goes into it.
So I have that dad goes to Danny and he's kind of pleading at this point. And Danny's, just kind of looking for her. And he's like, what's going on? Like, please tell me. Just
please
tell me something. Yeah. And Danny whispers something in his ear. We don't hear it, unfortunately. So we're left in the dark like mom.
But
and
mom's
but she behind
it.
Them.
Yeah, she witnesses it.
So she sneaks up and she's outside of the room and she sees that they're talking. And so later in bed, dad gets in bed, mom's laying down and she goes, what did Danny say? And he just said nothing.
Nothing.
Which is obviously a fucking lie.
And I joked to Tracy, I was like, if that happened to me, my... You know, like significant other, like got in bed, nothing after what's been going on. I'm like, no, we're not sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, you better wake your ass up.
We talking.
What you mean nothing?
We talking. Turn the lights off. Yeah.
I'll show you nothing.
Yeah.
And so basically it all goes dark and you see the mom's eyes wake up. I don't know if we ever know her name, so I feel bad just saying mom and dad, but it's all.
This is where it gets weird for me, and I'll tell you why.
This is like the most horrific part of the thing, right?
So she wakes up where it seems like she, you know.
You see her eyes open.
And the camera starts pan down her body. And so we're immediately like, okay, something happened.
With her nightgown on.
Yeah.
And you start to see blood.
Yeah.
All the way down her pajamas until you get to her arm. And her arm looks like there's been sections taken out of her.
Like, yeah. You see bone, exposed bone, her muscle. Yeah.
She's not moving.
And it keeps going down. And then all of a sudden you see knife and a carving knife.
And a fork.
And then someone is slicing
a huge piece of her leg.
Yeah, from her thigh. And it's her husband. And we see that she's on the dining table. And then the kids on the other... And he's serving her meat to the two kids. And they're just
all eating. And she's laying there, conscious, but not doing anything, right?
And the camera cuts back to her face.
And she smiles.
And there's a huge smile on her face.
Like, what the fuck?
And
what does that mean?
And we thought, oh... That's how it ends. But no, it was a dream.
It was a dream. And
it was sort of her fear. But she was still happy.
She was happy that they were eating.
And that she was part of it.
Yeah. Oh, she was like in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. But basically, then we wake up on Christmas Day. It says Christmas, right? So we have no idea how much time. Actually, no, we do know how much time has passed. No, we don't. Between that and Christmas, we don't actually know. But we make reference to a couple of key dates in a moment. But Christmas morning, we hear her narration again. And we see the two kids sitting on the floor in front of the Christmas tree, all the presents around. We see dad. And the first thing you notice is how
everyone looks.
Everyone's got dark eyes. Yeah. Cheekbones are showing, very sickly, except for the mom, of course. And the mom is basically saying out loud, you know, we were happy more than ever. This day stands out to me as being the day that we were the happiest. And it was great. No matter what had happened, it was a good day. And then Danny goes to hand his mom a box. And strangely, it was the identical red box from earlier in the movie.
There's a little two details about how they had somebody gave someone a chocolate.
Oh yeah, a box of chocolates. The very first gift given was to the dad, and he opens it up. I was like, it's going to be a box of chocolates. And he opens it and just looks at it. He's not going to eat it.
Puts it away. And then Jenny gets a Christmas sweater, and they show her putting it on.
And her stomach is disgustingly skinny.
Yeah, you can see her ribs sticking out.
And the mom even said, even though their clothes didn't fit, it was still a good day.
Yeah.
It was just like, she's so stupid, right? Yes. So then Danny hands the mom a box and the little label just says mom, but it's the identical box. And so then now we're talking in real life. It's no longer her narration. And she goes, Danny, do you remember that man on the train that day and had that box in his hand? And he's like, yes. And she goes, do you remember that you looked inside of it? And he was like, yeah. And she goes, what was inside of it, Danny? And he just goes, nothing. Just same answer as the dad said, right?
That's when I would have broke mentally right there.
And she goes, what do you mean nothing? She was like, do you mean that there was literally nothing inside? And he just kind of gave her a blank stare. And she goes, is this a joke? Is this some kind of a joke? Like, what is going on right now? So she didn't open that box.
She didn't. I know.
I really thought there was going to be nothing in it or something. And that maybe that's how it was going to end. But it didn't. So from there, we just start hearing a beeping noise, and you know it's a hospital beep. And then you see the camera goes into the hospital, and you see emergency room. It's dark, it's nighttime, and the camera goes slowly to three different bedrooms or three different hospital rooms within the hospital. And we see Danny, Jenny, and Dad all in their separate rooms, all asleep or unconscious, who knows? But they're on
life support.
Air. Yeah, it's bad. And we then see Mom on the train. We hear the narration.
This part was kind of sad, the way she worded it, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she goes and she visits them, and you kind of see her on the side of the bed with all of them. And then she goes, Danny died on January 17th. Jenny died on February 3rd.
Yep.
And her husband lasted until February 27th. Yeah. And so then you see her kind of standing in the train station just like on the platform, and then she gets on and you see her in multiple different outfits as she's ending with this narration, constantly looking for this guy,
constantly looking for that old man.
Yeah.
Cause she wants to know.
She said, in the box. I want to see, I have to see, I have to see what's inside that box so that I understand too. And then she goes, I have to see. And then she goes, I'm hungry.
I was like, what?
And then I wrote WTF question mark.
All right.
So,
this is very Twilight Zone-y. Okay. So this was my
very
favorite.
Good point you say there, because that's what Jovanka said she wanted to do. She said with her episode, she wanted to have a chance to do like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
This was my favorite one out of all.
Was
of
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Visually, I think it was shot well.
Mm-hmm.
Had this eeriness, especially at the dinner table, and then repetition of the same like angle from the dinner table, and then the food, and driving that like sort of that message, the visual message. I really liked. Yeah. I like that. I like when they do that in movies where they just like it comes back and it's the same angle, and there's some. Because the timeline was sort of repetition as well, right? It was like, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sort of that life.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that was sort of the subtext.
The mundane.
And then she was just in her life, just was, you know, because it was through her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she just wasn't in on it. That's why, like, she wasn't paying attention to her kids, like, at first, when they were hungry, you know? And she didn't really show a lot of emotions.
Mm-mm.
She was sort of disconnected, right? Like,
and that's what I was saying.
Did she cry at the bedside of her? No, really, right? She just.
Well, and so that's what I was saying. Like on the train in the very beginning, when she's talking about, I think what she's saying is just, in the city, like you have to keep your kids happy. You got to take them to the ice skating. You got to take. Yeah. It was almost like a complaint. It definitely felt like a complaint. Mm-hmm. And as she's just kind of staring out of the window as you hear this, and then the kids next to her kind of doing their thing. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a lot of time to really think about this or think about the deeper meaning behind it, but I wonder if the subtext, I'm just guessing here, is like, I don't know.
Maybe there wasn't. I'm just saying.
There might not be. There doesn't. And I think that always drives me crazy about short films like this or anthologies, because there's.
Oh, you don't like that when it's open-ended?
It kind of drives me crazy. Like, because I want to search for an answer. Yeah. And even if it's not right, like, I just want to have something. And so, I don't know. I mean, is the subtext that, I don't know. Like, either I have like two things in my head. Like, one, either that you kind of take your kids for granted and you are just kind of like in and out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, everything is the same. And you kind of miss out on, I don't know, the greater things in life, or like you're really, I don't know. Enjoying your children or what have
you're more optimistic, I guess. What? I was thinking like she wanted out of that life, right? And
really?
And that's how I got it. Not that she was happy at the end.
She was totally sad at the end. I think that's the thing. Like, she had a longing. Like,
totally sad.
Oh, I do. I mean, for her, she started looking really. Remember how
she wanted answers.
Remember how her face, though, like they did a job to like make sure she wasn't wearing makeup at the end, so that when you saw her in her different outfits, kind of searching on the train for this man, she definitely was looking more and more, worn. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think it's kind of one of those, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Maybe, but then my other thing I was going to say is, is it when a parent feels like they're not in on the joke, or like there's a favorite parent or something and she's not it, and how that feels. I don't know. And maybe then that scene where it's like her body's feeding, you know, her whole family. She feels like, oh, good.
I'm part of it.
Like I am part of it.
Part of it. Yeah. So that's the only thing that would give it away is, that would be the only meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this, outside of that, like it's, anyone's guess.
Yeah. You know what I'm totally going to do, because this is what I do, is I'm going to go Google like what everyone else thinks and come back with like an average answer. Like the median.
Or you won't be happy with from what, you know.
Yeah, totally.
You're like, no, this is BS.
Oh, no. I like to find what other people okay. think.
So moving on.
All right,
our
so that
next
was your
story is...
The Birthday Party.
The Birthday Party. This is the one that was written and directed by Annie Clark, the musician.
Well, and Roxanne Benjamin was a part of this as well.
Did she write it then?
One of them wrote it, and then the two of them directed it. Okay. And
Annie Clark was involved either way, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think she directed it. help direct it.
I mean, I could easily look it up, but yeah. So both of them were in conjunction on this one together. And what they said in that little mini video that we watched was that they wanted to make a black comedy. I think Annie said she actually really hates watching horror movies. I think they scare her too much.
Which I think is a weird comment to make.
Yeah. So she said that it was a mix of Weekend at Bernie's meets Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. So yeah. Take that for what it is. And then this one stars Melanie Lynskey, who I know from 2 and a Half Men for years and years and years. She played Rose, the girl that was obsessed with Charlie Sheen's character. And then she's also in Togetherness.
Yeah. Do you know, did you watch that show, 2 and a Half Men?
Okay. So I'm going to put that in air quotes. I watched it. It was my mom's favorite show. So like whenever I was with her, she loved that show. So I've seen enough. To know Rose.
It? Do you love it?
Do I? No, yeah. Okay. I didn't. Okay. They definitely pushed the envelope. I mean, no, for real though. Like when it came to being like dirty or, I don't know, they took it far. They were able to get further in television than I've seen, but whatever. And then you know where that show went. So, and then Togetherness, which I totally love. And she was in that show and she plays a really great character that too. So I think of her as a comedic actress. She's been on a couple of other very popular things, but knowing her and what I know her as, it was surprising to see the scene start and her be at the front of it. I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But I guess it was rightly so because it was, as they called it, a dark comedy, and it was definitely silly.
The silliest out of all of them.
It was silly.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. That's all. Yeah. Let's just talk about it.
All right. Let's just talk about it. So she wakes up.
Yeah.
She's a mother.
Beautiful house. This like sort of mid-century house and, styled house.
Yeah. With very eclectic, decor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's just say that because of the decor and
it felt like it was the 60s.
It was almost definitely a mid-century home. Yeah. With all the windows and the layout.
But at first I was like, is this actually a period thing or is it?
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Based off of the people's clothing that you see later and then based off of some of the decor and just that I was wondering if it was like a future, if it was set in the future, but then oddly people were dressed kind of retro, like the 50s, 60s. I don't know. It was very hard to pin. I just know it didn't feel present day.
Yeah.
It felt a little like otherworldly.
Yeah.
And maybe that ties to the very last text that's on screen. I don't know. Let's get there. Let's just start from the beginning. So she wakes up and
puts on her slippers.
Yeah. She puts on her nightgown. Her nightgown that strangely is torn. Like there's this arm that's torn, and got a
that
huge
bothers
hole in
me.
It.
You want closure? That bothers me. That was never addressed.
That was the most thing that bothered you, or the thing that most bothered
you. In
that
episode.
I know.
Yeah.
So you just, there's these weird things about it and you just don't really understand what the hell's going on at any given time. So she goes into the kitchen where there's already a lot of black and white decorations for a birthday party. And hey, it's called a birthday party, so it's fitting. And then there's a dead stuffed cat. on the counter that she pets like lovingly and then kind of moves it perfectly into place. And she's like kind of she picks up this really big piece of art. It was like that huge kind of moon shaped horn or whatever the hell it was. And she gets startled. It's like, why is she picking this thing up first thing
she's
in the morning?
Like cleaning or something.
That's weird. So she turns around and she's startled by this woman named Carla. Carla's wearing a very perfect black dress. She's got her hair perfectly done. We don't know who Carla is.
It's like frozen.
Frozen
in place.
She's very robotic, let's just say, and very crass. Mm-hmm. And our best guess was that she was the housemaid or the nanny.
Or the nanny, yeah.
Okay. So Carla goes, oh, good morning. You know, I don't know if she says ma'am. She might have.
She goes, oh, yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah.
She was like, should I wake your daughter? And she's got a cup of coffee in her hand and she was like, I'm going to go give this to David. And the mother, she quickly snaps and she was like, David's not here. And then she refers to him as Mr. Whatever their last name is. Mr. Whatever is not going to be here for his own daughter's birthday. So he doesn't need that coffee. Here, just give it to me. I'll take that. And, so they clearly don't have a great relationship, these two. And, she was like, I think I would know if David showed up last night, but he never came home last night. And, so they just had this like very strange exchange. And Carla kind of walks away. They bump into each other a little odd. And the mother walks down the hallway to go into
office.
David's office. Yeah. And she sees him from behind sitting in the chair. And she's like, oh, my God, David, you're here. Your daughter's going to be so happy that you made it to her birthday. And she spins him around. And she's like,
her arm around him first.
Yeah, right? Puts her arm. And then she like spins him around and she sees he's dead. Happy birthday. So he's dead.
He has a whiskey glass in his hand
and his death grip.
Yeah.
And she's kind of panicked and she doesn't really know what to do. And then all of a sudden the door knocks and it's her daughter.
No. Okay.
What? Yeah. Something else?
I thought, doesn't she see Carla first?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
So her daughter knocks on the door and she opens it up and she's like, hi, mommy. And she's like in a costume already. First thing in the morning.
Oh, the Oreo costume?
I don't know what the hell it was.
Black circle with an eyeball.
And we should also say, not that this matters, but we're talking about a white couple and they have a black daughter. Okay. And she's got this big black circular costume on that has one googly eye on it.
Like one unexpected.
Googly eye. Right? Like, what is this costume? Yeah. And she goes, what'd she say? She was like, mommy, I'm excited for my party. But she says something like, I made a mistake or I did something bad. And she goes, what happened, Lucy? What happened, honey? And she looks down and she sees like she's peed herself in her costume and her stockings all the way down, her legs are wet with pee.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, it's okay, honey. So now she's got to go handle this while dead, hubby is sitting here in this chair. And she takes her daughter to the bathroom and she starts trying to like put together with scissors and glue and like some other random shit. She cuts out like eye holes from a sheet or whatever to make her a ghost, white ghost. And she's like, there you go, honey. Like now you have a whole new costume and everything's okay.
Yeah, and she tries to sell it on her and she buys it. Her daughter buys it.
And her daughter goes, you know what? I'm not a ghost. Yeah. I'm a dead girl now.
Yeah.
And then I think it kind of startles the mom a little bit. She's like, oh God, like hearing her daughter talking about being a dead girl. She's got a dead husband over in the other room, right? So, her name's Mary. So Mary goes back into the office after she pushes her daughter along and she sees an empty pill bottle. And she was like, oh, David, like, what did you do?
Well, she goes in the bathroom and I thought she was getting pills for herself.
Mm.
She gets the pill box or the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
She goes in the office and she opens the bottle. It's empty.
And she looks at it.
I think it's empty, right?
It was totally empty. And she just goes, oh, David, like, why or whatever. So across from this mid-century modern house, and mid-century modern houses have a ton of windows, she can see around the house in the other room that can kind of see through to this room. Carl is walking towards this area.
Yeah.
So she starts panicking, grabs his dead body.
And this weird music.
Yeah.
She started.
Yeah. Like stressful music, right?
Yeah. Stressful music.
So it she picks really him up. Fit. She takes him into the closet and she's hiding. Carla comes in. She's looking for markers. So she finds these markers in a drawer and she goes over to David's whiskey table and she takes a swig of whiskey, not from the glass, but from the whole bottle. And you can tell she's just, I don't think she loves her job. Let's just say that. And then she kind of hears a noise from within the closet and she's about to go open it. But then Lucy, the little girl, comes in and she's like, Carla, did you find the markers? And she's like,
gets interrupted.
Yeah, honey. Yep. I found the markers. I told you not to come into your dad's office. He doesn't like when you disturb his things. And so she takes her down the hallway and she goes, come on. She was like, let's go play outside. This house is so stuffy. And she's like, where's mommy? And she was like, I don't know. She's probably like straightening up picture frames on the walls or something. So she hates her. You're like, I think you get Carla hates the Mary. And so as soon as they walk out of the door and shut the door, Mary and the husband fall out of the slapstick.
Yeah.
Fall on the ground. David's arm is like over her, like laying on top of her. And for a moment, she kind of puts her hand on his arm and like looks at him lovingly. It's like, oh, is this the first kind of intimate exchange they've had in a long time, maybe? And then
I don't understand why she won't change out of her nightgown, dude. That bothered me.
I know.
It's like, can you change?
Oh, no. It bothered you because you couldn't stop staring at her hoo-has. Like, she had a huge... she has huge boobs. And so, like, she's wearing this nightgown that's accentuating her breasts so much. Minky four times goes, this is just so distracting. This is so distracting. I was like, I'm fine, but okay. Let's see. She's moving the body and she's bringing him into a room where I guess the front door is. I don't know what she's doing, but she's in front of the couch on the ground with him and the doorbell or the door starts knocking. I don't
understand where she was taking it.
I don't know either. I don't think she knew what the fuck she was doing.
Yeah.
But so some woman named Madeline is knocking at the door and she's extremely like hoity-toity.
Noisy, right?
Like, annoying.
Yeah, wants to know what you're doing.
What are you doing in there? Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. And so Mary kind of walks out to get her to not look inside the house because Madeline keeps going like, what do you have on the floor over there? And she's like, I was just fixing the carpet.
And then the camera cuts to the body real quick and plays this really dun 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 like music. We're like, what the hell?
I was like, we already know the body's there.
We already know the body's there.
So basically, Madeline is, she's thumbing around to try to get an invite to this birthday party. She's like, oh, you know, my daughter's in town, my stepdaughter's or whatever. And she's like, okay, do you want an invite to the party, Madeline? She's like, I would love to. She's like, okay, great, you can come. So she gets her gone. And she goes back in the house.
This is where I start losing. I start checking out.
I know. Story. Well, no, it was right at this moment where she goes back in to start moving the body. And guess what? A doorbell goes off. And I was like, huh. I looked at you and I was like, I can't handle this. Yeah. All right. So the doorbell goes off. And oh, you know, because this still happens, apparently, a singing birthday message, telegram, whatever that thing's called. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Someone in a costume with a fucking boombox. An old one. Like an from 1984. He sets it like there's a boombox on the ground and he's singing some song and she just hits stop. The mom does, Mary does. And she's just like, I'm not Lucy. This is not my birthday. And he's like, well, I have a song for Lucy. I got to finish my song. She's like, no, you don't. I need you to go. As a matter of fact, $200. I need your panda suit that you're wearing. And he's like,
it keeps going up.
And yeah. I can't give you my panda suit. Cause I got to pay for it.
Eventually she offers him
$1,000 and apparently 2 ounces of medical marijuana that she has. And he looks at her like, okay, I'll take that.
And he was like, plays that, like there was a sound effect.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, like, yeah.
I'll take your weed, bitch. So basically, she now has a panda suit, and you see her stuffing David into the panda suit, the head and the whole nine. Why? I do not know. And while she's doing this, while she has like David with the panda head on up against the wall, you see Lucy running in and she's like, mommy, mommy. And so she's like hiding. And then the doorbell rings and she's like, yay, the party's starting. So the party's starting. We still got this bitch with messy hair and her torn ass
nightgown
and her nightie that's showing all of her breasts. And guess what? Oh, the door opens. Carla's there to open the door and there's like 50 people outside waiting. I was like, this is not how parties happen.
The kids are dressed in
one person comes at the same time.
Costume.
Right. There's all these weird ass costumes.
One kid was dressed at the toilet. Did you see that? What? You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah. The black kid was in a toilet.
That's so fucked up.
I was
what
like,
does this
what
mean?
The hell is going on? Remember I asked you if it was Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is Halloween?
I have no idea. I couldn't even figure out what some of the costumes were. It was like...
one was definitely a toilet.
And then this is what I was saying. So some of those people were dressed. It was very like 1960s. It was like they had their hair kind of done up in... very like Mad Men hairstyles with like big pearl earrings on. And then the dads kind of were, it was a very
weird.
Maybe
we're missing something. Maybe it's
I don't know.
Maybe we need to listen to the punk song from the birthday party.
Oh, because there's a reference because it's called the birthday party. And so I think Annie Clark says she's paying homage to Nick Cave, which was album that.
And then she says what after that?
She was like,
as always. Something like that.
I was like, oh, what does that mean? Maybe her music is like, it's strongly influenced by Nick Cave. I don't know. I mean, I love Nick Cave. So, essentially, she somehow gets the panda suit on, I guess, just in the nick of time to bring the body and set it at the kitchen table,
at the head of the table.
And then you see in a very weird,
sitting on the other end,
very dreamlike scene, right? It's very, like, very strange.
It's like
things are happening.
He's never there, blah, blah, blah. He's finally involved or something.
So he's sitting at the head of the table in the panda suit. And I guess kids just think it's a panda suit or prop. Mary is sitting at the other end of the kitchen table and she's literally in a zone just staring at him. And all the kids, you see kind of like all the kids dancing. Is it in slow-mo? I think it's in slow-mo.
It felt like it, right?
It felt like it. And so all the kids are dancing around the panda and around her. And then all the parents are like in a semicircle around Mary behind her with a present. Everybody's got a present in their hand. So this feels, again, it feels very fake. It feels very, it's like there's no way that this could happen in real life.
Yeah.
And then Carla comes over slowly. Wait,
before that, the camera gets slowly close to her. And she starts
pouring the flask that she had found on David into her drink with a straw, the black and white swirly straw. She just starts drinking out of it. And all the parents are looking at her judging too.
Yeah. And then the camera turns back to the panda head and goes slowly into his eyes because she's longingly, like, you know, looking at them.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes to black and we're like, what, that's how it ends?
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
right.
And then it comes
like,
back.
Fuck this.
And it's even more confusing because we come back.
Yeah.
And we come back and Carla brings
the cake, the
birthday cake.
Puts it in front of the panda.
Yeah.
Because that's where the kids are standing on that side of the table.
And she bumps
the panda head. And so that the panda head falls into the cake and everybody kind of like goes, oh! And then Carla starts to, for whatever reason, pull off the head.
She pulls him back.
Well, she starts to pull the head off, right? And that's when you see Mary in slow motion, her mouth goes something like, oh no, or something. And
yeah, what did she say? I can't remember what she says.
Like, it might have even been like, oops.
Yeah.
I think she said, oops. And so she pulls the head off, and a dead David is there, and all the kids start screaming. And that's it, right?
Yeah. And then it goes to black. Yeah. And then there is the copy that comes over white on black.
It said the birthday party, and then it said, or the memory Lucy has from her seventh birthday. Oh, wait, let me read it for real, because I didn't write it down right. It said, the memory Lucy suppressed from her seventh birthday that wasn't really her mom's fault, even though her therapist says it's probably why she fears intimacy. So when I said it's like a dream state, I think I get this one. Like this one isn't so hard now to it's like what a 7-year-old might remember of a horrible birthday party. So that's why costumes might be like they are. And maybe that's why the people's dress were weird. And that's why the scene felt so.
Yeah, but she's filling fake. It. Yeah, but she's filling in areas where she wasn't even present.
Right. It's through the eyes of the mom. I don't know.
It wasn't very good. I was like,
I think I'd rather watch Annie. Weekend at Bernie's.
I was like, oh, Annie, stick to music. I hate that. I hate when people say, stick to your job. That's stupid. But I joke. I don't think that's serious. It was beautifully shot. It was actually, it reminded me of like a lot of her music videos.
Yeah.
Like weird, you know, and like a lot of pop-up color, primary color.
Yeah, it was very bright. There was one scene where the bright blue door was so blue, you're like, wow, look at how she pops off of that. And there's the bathroom scene, super bright purple. Mm-hmm. Actually, the very first scene, she's in her nightgown, and it's teal, beautiful teal. Her walls are kind of like a very light wash of some kind of teal. She's got like, I think, white bed sheets and stuff. And then next to her are these beautiful teal vases. And I said, oh, look at the colors in this scene, like playing off each other.
Very like, cartoony,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, feels like another world.
Story, yeah.
This one, there is no question, really. There's no, I guess, like, that was our thing. It was just like, what time period does this take place and what the fuck is going on? So I think it's
for
just
a second, I thought it was like, the writers, like, it was a true story. Like,
that's what they're trying to make it, right? The memory that she suppressed because of her seventh birthday, because it made her like a little crazy.
Definitely wasn't horror.
It wasn't her mom's fault. Yeah. So there's obviously some underlying like, daddy did this. It wasn't her mom's fault. He killed himself. It wasn't her. I don't know. So anyway, all right. So that's it for this episode. We're going to do the next two and the next episode.
That's right.
And there was so much like lead in for this one. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe next one will just be really short.
No, what? Why? We can do
some more lead in.
A little banter. It's fine.
A little band. Yeah, we'll just do like a little teeny reminder.
We can read email. Letter.
Ooh. All right. So how about before we end this, though, we'll do listener mail. God, I just love that jingle. Thanks, Josh. Have we ever actually out loud thanked Josh Chung?
Yeah.
We have?
Yeah.
Let's just do it again. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. So we've got Don D, who has written in. I actually, you know, I read this and I meant to go look something up, but I didn't, so I'll just read it. So she writes, Dawn writes, "Hey guys, I enjoyed the Women in Horror episode. Really liked how conversational it was, as if you two were chatting over a cup of coffee while waiting for your dryer to go off." I'm so glad Mickey's dryer is not going on right now, but he joked that it was going to be.
Hey, I like doing laundry, okay?
Hey. So Dawn, instead of talking about a horror movie, she talked about just her first horror story. So she said, "My first horror story was the same as for a lot of people, which was Frankenstein. Thought I'd mention it since the author Mary Shelley fits the women in horror theme in such a creepy way. She dreamed the idea for the book on vacation when she and her future husband, the poet Percy Shelley, Lord Byron, and another friend got into a competition over who could write the best horror story. And 4 years after Frankenstein was published, Mary had a horror story in her own life after Shelley drowned off the coast of Italy and a friend sent her his heart. On a more cheerful note, I like how you stay upbeat even when describing grisly details. Scary good. Keep it up."
Thanks, Dawn, for writing.
Thank you, Dawn, and thank you for appreciating the episode and the Women in Horror episode specifically.
That was a fun episode.
It was really cool. And actually, it was a really popular one on iTunes. So I think what we've talked about is doing... like other special episodes where maybe we don't run through a movie per se, but we do something like we did with that one where we kind of, I don't know, go through like our favorites of something or do a list of some kind.
Change up the format a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Why not do a special sode every now and again, right? All right. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening as always. If you haven't already, do us a favor, please, and go check us out on Instagram and Facebook. We're at One Final Scare, if you wouldn't mind. And then, you know, to keep this thing going, we'd really, 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 really appreciate it if you subscribe to us, if you haven't already, and also review us on iTunes. We'd really love if you did that. I think we're up to 9 reviews. We'd love some more, please.
9? Wow.
Yeah.
There's 8.
Oh, we have 9.
Oh.
9. So we're asking a favor, if you wouldn't mind. We'd really love that. Email us at, what is it? onefinalscare@gmail.com. You can email us for any reason. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know how bad we're doing. Yeah, please email us for any reason. And then also, if you want to give us your first horror experience, whether that be your first horror movie, your first memory, your first anything, we'd really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to hear from you guys.
We do. I love conversing with our peeps.
All 10 of you who's out there listening.
All 10. There's more than 10 now.
Yeah.
I just know.
Those are
it.
Just bots downloading.
No. Anyhow, we love you guys. Right. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.
This is Minky.
Oh, yeah. And this is Tracy.
Signing out.
Peace. Bye.